He took the time to come and be with us. Would you give him and the Lord a great big hand? Thank you, Brother Winters. Amen. God bless you, my friend. Hallelujah. Come and preach to us. Amen.
Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now, shall we? Oh, God, we worship you and praise you. You're a mighty God. You're a mighty God. You're worthy of all of our praise and honor and glory today, oh, God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Johnson, for the kind words. Thank you for your kindness. And this church is always a tremendous honor to be with you and to worship God with you. And I very much love and respect and honor your pastor and his wife. I love and appreciate Brother and Sister Johnson, their friendship, and so very thankful that the Lord allowed our paths to cross a few years ago, and I'm very blessed to call these people my friends, and obviously as well, Brother Isaac, Sister Liz, their family, amen, love and appreciate them. I told him yesterday I'm forever indebted to him and his family because they introduced me to a chocolate cake shake at Portillo's the first time I came. And I said, there isn't a time that I get one that I don't think about you. Most of the time, I'll send them a picture just saying thank you. Amen. God is good. Amen. So thankful. Amen. I'm thankful for the church. I am. Amen. We're blessed people today because of the church, because we are a part of the church. Amen. Not only we're blessed, we're extremely wealthy people. I know somebody's thinking, you just don't have a clue what my checking account looks like. No. True wealth is determined by the things that you have that money can't buy. And you can't buy what you feel and what you experience when you're a part of the church. So thankful. So thankful. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bible, I direct your attention to the book of Numbers chapter 9. While you're turning there again, thank you to the worship team and singers and musicians have just so wonderfully led us into the presence of God and spirit of worship in every service. Eliana, God bless you. Amen. I watched her Thursday night, and I watched as she just was led of the Spirit of God and leading us in worship. Thank you so much. The anointing of God's on your life. Hand of the Lord's upon you. He's got something special for you. I felt that again today. Amen. Numbers chapter 9 and verse number 1. I apologize for the lengthy amount of scripture, but I'm going to read. But stay with me for just a moment if you'll remain standing. The Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to the ceremonies thereof, shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. But verse 6 says, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, and they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and these men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Amen. I want to stop right there for just a moment, and I want to preach, if you'll help me, for just a few minutes today. Amen. From this subject or title, The Legacy of a Lost Passover. Amen. The legacy of a lost Passover. Would you lift your hands and your voice and your faith with me? I believe the Lord has walked into this building to minister, amen, and to change someone's life today. Can we just join together in prayer one more time? Lord, I'm so thankful for your presence. I'm so thankful for the nearness of your presence in this house today and what you're doing and what you're going to do in our midst in the next few moments. I pray, God, that you would anoint the ministry and delivery of your word, that your name name would be exalted and your kingdom advance today and lives changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let this all be done in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Would somebody give the Lord some praise in the house before you're seated? The Lord has been good to you. Bless him right now with some worship. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Many, many years before the Lord walked upon the face of the earth, before his incarnation, before the cross, and long before the day that John would sit in heavenly places upon the Isle of Patmos, mercy had always lingered in the presence of God, because God is merciful. Before there ever was a sin problem, there was a sin solution. The Bible speaks of a lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. The psalmist said it like this: his mercy endureth forever. And that phrase is repeated 41 times in the word of the Lord. Lamentation says that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because they are new every morning. In fact, if I can say it this way, and I say this with all sacredness and honor, amen, mercy seems to be God's middle name, if you will. No, not literally, but it's mercy that infuses who God is and how his connection with you and I exists. Because mercy doesn't just throw a life preserver to a drowning person. Mercy pulls you from the bottom of the sea. Mercy takes you up on the bank. Mercy breathes into you the breath of life and makes you come alive again. Today, I am thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. The scripture text that we read a moment ago is really the end of a matter. And to understand it, you've got to understand the beginning of the matter. I'm going to try to explain it very quickly, but precisely as possible. You recall that Moses had killed an Egyptian. He's forced to flee the land of his nativity and live among the deadly desert that he would call home for some 40 years. He's descended from living in the courts of Pharaoh, and now he's living in the heat and the aroma of the desert sheep, and the promise of a basket of rushes has now put him in the jail of this heated desert. But God was not finished with the life of Moses. It was from a burning bush, and I made reference to this last night, but it's from the burning bush that God began to call Moses, and the mission was given because the Lord's people needed to be set free. So with a divine word and divine mandate from God, Moses marches back to where it all started. He goes into the courts of Pharaoh and demands, God says, let my people go. Nine times it was promised, you can go. But within every promise that Pharaoh would give, within every promise there lurked a lie, and his heart would change and he would change his mind. And so it's in the final plague that the promise that is made by Pharaoh is finally kept by Pharaoh. Amen. In this plague, where the firstborn of every house that did not have the blood applied to the door, the firstborn of that house would die. This would be the final straw. But inside of that plague comes the story of the Passover. God's people had lived in Goshen, that had been protected from all the previous plagues. But this final plague would only be missed if the blood was applied to the home. Amen. The way the lamb was specific, how the blood was applied, where it was applied, with all of those specifics, there lied safety and salvation. And perhaps out of all of the Old Testament things, there are none that point to Jesus more loudly and more clearly than the Passover does. Because this time their nationality is not going to save them. Merely being born in a Jewish home is not going to preserve them. Having the right name would not place them outside of divine wrath. Their mother's faith could not save them. It was not a given that because they were God's chosen that they were going to be saved. Where they live would not save them. The matter of where they worship and how they worship, none of those things would guarantee a granting of mercy. Their only saved by the blood that is applied to their home. And so in this desert where they walked out of Egypt, from where God began to establish the feast of the Passover, it was a time to look backwards, amen, in gratitude, and forward a promise, amen. And God established a way, a time for them to remember the blood, to remember their deliverance from slavery, to remember what had been, to reflect upon what would be, because in God there's always what used to be and what is, and most importantly, what is to come. Amen. So that which is in front of me is greater than that which is behind me. And by the time we reach this text, I know it's a lot of information, but I must share it. By the time we reach the text that we read today, 1 year has passed since the inaugural implementation of the Passover. It was so important that to miss the Passover was to, much like you and I missing the cross or Calvary, to miss the Passover was nearly to commit an act of treason to the national Jew. To miss it was to commit the violence of sin to the religious Jew. To miss the Passover was to nearly say that their deliverance was not really important to the previously enslaved Jew. It was to say that God's work was of no effect. And just as the Passover was near, so the cross would lie ahead. Passover was the prophecy. Calvary was the fulfillment. Passover was the shadow. Calvary was the light. Passover was the schoolmaster. Calvary was the topic. Passover was the physical feast. Calvary was the spiritual reality. Passover brought them out of Egypt. Calvary brings us out of sin. Passover delivered them from Egyptian bondage. Calvary delivers us from the bondage of sin. Passover required the death of a flawless lamb. Calvary required the death of a sinless Savior. But I read in this passage that there was some men in the book of Numbers chapter 9 that had missed the Passover on this second anniversary. Life had happened, more specifically death had happened. Someone had passed away, and it was impossible for the care of that deceased body to be delayed. They had touched this dead body, and now it made the most important thing the most impossible thing, because there were perimeters around the Passover. Amen. And those things were, one of those is you cannot touch a dead thing and participate in the Passover. Amen. But people passed and they had to be buried. And the trouble was now these men could not participate in the most important day of the year to them. They watched as the Passover happened all around them. They watched but were excluded. They remembered but they could not touch. It was a place where they could see mercy being celebrated, but could not come near enough to touch mercy and mercy to touch them. But I go back to what I said at the beginning. God is a God of mercy. If you look at God through the eyes of a lawyer, the least sin makes us ineligible for mercy. But if you look at God through the eyes of his love and compassion, the greatest sinner may receive the greatest mercy. These men missed the Passover, and they come to Moses about their dilemma. And Moses, they said, are we going to be kept back because we had to bury a friend, a loved one? And Moses says, well, this has never happened before. Let me talk to God about this. And he goes to the Lord. Amen. And the trouble with these men, he goes to the Lord about it, because when Moses asked God, what do we do about these men that missed the Passover that occurred on the 14th day of the first month? God says, it's no problem. Amen. I'm going to establish a second Passover on the 14th day of the second month. The Jews call it Pesach Sheni. It marks a day when someone who was unable to participate in the Passover can participate 1 month later. Exactly. Why? Because God is a God of second chances. I said he is a God of second chances. It's a powerful truth, amen, about the Lord, that he's a God of a second chance. These men came with a problem they could not solve. Amen. God could have easily said, I'm sorry you missed it. It's gone. Time has passed. But that's not what God did. God created a brand new holiday, amen, to destroy their dilemma, amen, so they can participate in this. What I'm preaching today is not about some ceremony or feast that came about in the wilderness that should be revived and created today. What I'm speaking about is a message of mercy. When these men could not get to the feast, God created a feast to destroy their dilemma, because God will go to great lengths to make a way where there is no way, because he is a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of my infirmities. Did I ever tell you, and I rise to tell you today, that God is still in the business of mercy, that he is still a God of second chances? Somewhere in the heavens, I can hear the voice of God saying, I did it for those men then, and I'll do it for you on this Sunday morning. I come to tell someone, today you sit in a house of mercy. Today you can experience the mercy of God. Somewhere in a dry wilderness, the bones of those men have returned to dust, but their legacy lives on. And that legacy is, he's a God of second chances. He's a God of mercy. That which I missed, he made up. When I could not get to him, he came to me. Where I could not sit, he made me sit. When who I was made me far, he brought me near. I'm thankful today for the mercy of God. What was established in the wilderness is a reflection of who God is. These men had either touched a dead body, been away on a trip. Amen. One stood close and watched mercy but could not touch it. The other on a trip away and knew where mercy was but could not get there. One far and one near. But mercy is not the mercy's not the problem of distance. Mercy is the solution to distance. The Bible does not shy away about sin. It's very straightforward about sin and the sinner. Amen. That all sin, amen, when it is finished, it brings death. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we were all born sinners. Amen. But anyone in this room who has ever repented of your sin and been baptized in Jesus' name and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can attest to the fact that God specializes in second chances. Can I get a witness in this house? Can anybody verify in this house that he's a God of second chances? Can I get a praise, a hallelujah, an amen, that God granted you another chance and another opportunity when you did not deserve it? Amen. If you've never repented and never been baptized in his name and received the Holy Ghost, or you have walked away from that, you are sitting in a house today full of witnesses, of people who can tell you he is a God that will give you another chance. I feel an urgency in my spirit and a burden in my heart. I come to tell you that the patriarch Jacob, his name literally meant deceiver, and he lived up to it. But God gave him a second chance and changed his name to Israel. Jonah fled the commandment to preach at Nineveh, but God turned him around and gave him a second chance. David deserted the land of his anointing, went to live in the land of Gath, but mercy pulled pulls him back and sits him on the throne. Thomas doubted that the Lord even rose again, but God showed up the second time in a locked up room and said, put your fingers in the nail prints. Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church, but there was a Damascus Road experience, and God gave him a second chance, and Paul becomes the greatest missionary the church has ever known. Mary Magdalene possessed with devils, but Jesus gives her another chance, and she's the first one to witness the empty tomb. Oh, hallelujah. I'm saying you cannot walk 10 steps in the scripture without tripping over the mercy of God. Oh, somebody ought to thank him for mercy right now. I wish somebody would praise him for his mercy this morning. I feel Holy Ghost in this house. I'll say it again, you can't walk 10 steps in the scripture without tripping over the mercy of God. Mercy walks through the history books. Mercy walks through the prophets. Mercy walks through the Psalms. Mercy walks through the Gospels and Paul's words. But even when John stands at the portal of heaven and earth in the book of Revelation, and he hears all of the names and these churches, it is the legacy of a lost Passover that we hear in the voice of God. Because when Jesus begins to speak of these churches in Revelation, he says, I know your works. I know the condition you're in. I know you're where you are spiritually. But then mercy says, but I stand at the door and I knock. If you will hear my voice and open, I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. I hear mercy this morning. I hear mercy calling somebody. I hear the God of a second chance reaching to somebody that thinks it's too late and thinks you've gone too far. But hear me today, I feel the call of God upon your life to let you know God is not through with you. Jesus was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane, cast in the prison, cruelly treated. During this time, his once faithful followers just scatter like little lambs. And just days before, it seems like Peter is the one having the hardest time, because just days before, he said, I'm willing to die with you for you. But now that he's called upon to perhaps to have to do that, he denies even being a disciple of the Lord. He's allowed fear to overcome his faith. For 3 years he has followed. For 3 years he has witnessed the miracles happen. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. Peter was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was the only man in history beside Jesus Christ that we know of that walked on water. When Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? It is Simon Peter with revelation that says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Nobody except John was closer to Jesus than Peter. At Gethsemane, he is that in that inner circle of prayer. Yet when Jesus is in prison and beaten and scourged and whipped, he walks that lowly road to Golgotha without Peter's support. Amen. And while Jesus is being condemned to death, Peter stands outside cursing and deceiving and saying, I am not one of his followers. He stood at the precipice of Calvary when the true Passover lamb was being prepared for sacrifice. And instead of preparing himself and removing the leaven from his own life, he himself made himself unclean. And though Peter had perhaps participated in the Passover all of his life, he missed the real Passover when he stood outside cursing. Peter denied knowing the Lord. And the Bible said, amen, when that rooster crowed, Peter realized his sin and he went out and he wept bitterly. When the men in the book of Numbers missed the Passover, it was no fault of their own. own. Amen. They had to bury a friend, a loved one, and God gave them a second chance. But Peter's uncleanliness is not so innocent. It's not due to no fault of his own. It was due to a willful choice to forsake the Lord and deny him. Those men in the book of Numbers deserve a second chance, but Peter did not. Yet when Jesus rises from the dead, amen, the angels announce to the disciples, amen, the angel says to the women, you go tell his disciples and go tell Peter, because heaven calls Peter by name. Mercy reaches one more time. Heaven forgives. Heaven changes. Heaven gives a second chance. Therefore, it is no surprise. On the day of Pentecost, amen, the man who had been given a second chance was asked, what do we do? He said, you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And this promise is to you, to your children, to all that are far off. And years later, when he wrote his letter in the first book of Peter, the disciple who had been given a second chance wrote about being redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And while Paul wrote about it extensively, while the book of Hebrews mentions it 22 times, and John spoke about it, when Peter wrote about the blood, this is what Peter said: we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Out of all of the New Testament writers, Jesus, or Peter, is the only one to call it precious blood. How precious is the blood to somebody that's been given one more chance? How precious is the blood to somebody who's been given one more opportunity to come back to God and to make things right with God? How precious is that flow? How precious is that blood when you've been away from God for years and that blood begins to flow over you as you repent and ask God to forgive you and God gives you a second chance? I don't know how many times you've tried and failed. I don't know how distant you feel from God. I don't know how many times you may have sinned and walked away and where sin has taken you. But hear me this morning. I feel mercy calling you again. I hear mercy reaching for you one more time. I've come to tell you that mercy is still available to you. I'm preaching to somebody that feels like your failures are fatal. Amen. That God's through with me. I can't be used. But mercy is reaching for you one more time. Would you slip your hand in the air and would you pray with me right now? Because I feel the call of God upon somebody's life this morning. I feel mercy reaching for somebody today. But Brother Winters, you don't know where I've been and what I've done. No, and I don't need to know. I don't have to know. All I know is mercy's reaching for you today, sir. All I know is it doesn't matter where you've been and how long you've been away from God. The mercy of God. God's walked into this building to give you another chance. God's walked into this building. It's been mercy. It's been mercy that's been waking you up in the middle of the night, dealing with you. It's been mercy that while you were on your job, you were reminded and thought about, I need to get things right with God. It was mercy that's been reaching for you and calling you. Amen. What are you going to do? I feel so compelled to ask you, what are you going to do with the call of God upon your life? What are you going to do with the mercy that is reaching for you this morning? You can let the tears fall because of the sin that you have done. But at the same time, you need to let your eye be lifted, amen, and catch with the eye of faith the glimpse of new mercy that was made available to you this morning. One songwriter penned it like this: I was hopeless. I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only songs. I needed someone to come and rescue me, and mercy heard my plea. Lord, you found me. You healed me. You called me from the grave. You gave me your real love. I thank you, Jesus, that you've washed my sins away. I'm living. I am forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did. So every morning, mercy will restore me. I will proclaim. I'm here to proclaim to somebody who's wrestling with your past, who's tormented by your mistakes, that the mercy of God is reaching for you today. That it doesn't matter where you've been and how long you have been gone, the mercy of God is reaching for you right now. Would you pray with me right now? Would you just lift your voice to the Lord and pray across this house? Amen. Across this sanctuary, I feel mercy reaching for somebody one more time. Amen. I'm asking you to pray in the Holy Ghost, to pray because I feel a soul in the balance today. Yes, yes, I would love to be preaching. Amen. Something would have you dancing and shouting, but I feel a call of God upon somebody's life this morning. I feel mercy saying, I'm not through with you. I've got a calling. There's a purpose to your life. There is something I'm wanting to do. Why don't you let mercy touch you right now as we're praying in this house, as we have our hearts and our hands turned toward heaven. I wish you would across this house stand with me right now, because I hear mercy calling somebody. I feel mercy reaching for someone in this house today. You know how to touch God. I'm asking you to pray right now. Come on, saints of God. Come on, church of God, let's pray right now. I'm opening this altar to somebody that says, I need mercy to cover me right now. I need the mercy of God to wash me. I need the mercy of God to restore me right now. I feel restoration in this house this morning. I feel the God of mercy calling somebody by name. You know who you are. You know the call of God upon your life. Don't walk away from mercy this morning. Why don't you run toward mercy and let mercy rescue you today? Why don't you, what do you, oh God. I hear mercy calling your name. What are you going to do with the call of God upon your life? Come on, church, let's pray. I sense the way to the call of God on somebody right now. Amen. And you're wrestling in your mind. You're wrestling, but you don't know what I've done and where I've been. No, but mercy's given you another chance. Mercy's saying, I love you. God's saying, if you'll just come, amen, and just bring it to me and lay it at my feet, amen, I'll restore you. I'll revive you. I'll fill you with my spirit. Amen. I'll forgive you of your past. That's what mercy will do for you. That's what mercy will restore life and joy and peace in you right now. Hallelujah. Maybe there's a saint of God wrestling with things in your past. Amen. That you feel like are keeping you. Amen. Holding you back. Why don't you let mercy wash you right now? I'm not trying to work something up, but I feel the call of God. If I've ever felt the call of God, I feel it right now upon somebody. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Why don't you let mercy, God, I need mercy to touch me right now. I need your grace. I need your help. I've been away. I let some things come in my life, but I need mercy to wash me right now. I need the blood of Jesus that flows from Calvary to cleanse me all over again and fill me with the Spirit of God. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. Come on, God is not through with you, sir. God is not through with you, ma'am. He has not thrown you aside. He has not walked away and forgotten you. Amen. But mercy is reaching. What you feel is mercy calling you right now. Maybe you'd come with this church. I'm asking everybody that would, everybody that can, amen, just to slip out of your seat to this altar right now, because I feel mercy calling. He's come to give you another chance. He's come to give you another opportunity, sir. Ma'am, God loves you. God loves you. God is not through with you. The hand of the Lord is upon your life. The call of God is upon your life. I feel mercy. I see mercy running for you. I see mercy reaching for you right now. Come on, this is your day. This is your moment. Amen. This is your moment. What have you got to do? What have I got to do? Amen. Right where you are, where you stand, where you sit, just lift your hands. God, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me, oh God, of my sin. Forgive me, oh Lord, of my iniquities. Come on, there's some people in this altar right now. There's some people around you that are praying, God, I need mercy right now. Touch me, oh God. Let your mercy cover me right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your blood cover me this moment. Come on, I feel the call of God. There's a mantle upon you. There's a mantle of calling upon you right now. Come on, let mercy restore you. You're not as far from God as you think you are. Amen. He's nearer than you realize. If you could just speak his name, if you would just call his name, you're going to feel the presence of God as it flows over you right now. Come on, church, let's be sensitive. Find someone nearby you and pray with them right now. Find someone that's praying and pray. Mercies, mercies being granted. Forgiveness, restoration in this house. Come on, it's mercy, it's mercy, it's mercy reaching. Mercy refuses to give up on you. You may have walked your own path and done your own things, but mercy says, I love you, and regardless of where you've been, I'll forgive, I'll cleanse, I'll fill you with my spirit. Come on, the moment you ask him, God will forgive you. The moment you ask him, God will forgive you. Then all you got to do is rejoice and let the Holy Ghost fill you right now.